This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Rach.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a really fun episode.
It's so fun.
By the way, we divulged some beauty secrets that nobody should know. By the way,
no.
I have deep regret for what I told you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You have deep regret.
Yeah.
We also divulged some first-time experiences. Yeah. Super sexy sex talk. We learned a little bit about my birthmark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot to choose from in this one.
You tried to sing?
How dare you? By the way,
yeah.
I did sing.
Yeah, and I wish you hadn't.
Rachel Harris.
Yeah.
I will talk to you later.
I'll talk to you
later.
Ladies
and jerks, welcome to Wham! Hey, Rachel, hey. How are you doing?
I'm so good.
Yeah?
Kids are good.
Yeah? Can
you hear that?
Yeah, what's the whistle?
You know what? I'm just sure it's workers.
Oh.
No. And usually it is. That's a fair question because I do drink a lot of tea.
Yes, you do. Fascinating. Rach.
Yes, mama.
Okay, can I just tell you what's happening in my life?
Please tell me everything.
I'm getting ready to go to my high school reunion in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm.
Which I wish I was going with you.
You can.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about the date.
We'll talk about it offline, as they say.
Offline. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, my God.
That's like a no-brainer.
Rach.
What?
You know, I think I'm going to take my mom, Cracklin' Rosie.
Yes. Yes. Cracklin' Rose. If anybody doesn't know, Cracklin' Rose is based on a Neil Diamond song.
Yes, it is. It is.
Have you ever talked about that with your listeners?
I have no recollection. I'm sure we have. This is the problem with podcasts is like,
yeah.
You know, Tig and I would just repeat stories. And it's like, yeah, you've told that one 300 times. And then if you're in the mood, then you say it again. I know, same.
Yeah. I remember nothing. Wasn't that a Nora Ephron book? I remember nothing.
Couldn't tell you.
And I hate my neck.
I do. Too. Yeah, I hate my neck. But it's,
she really it's, does. She really does, people out there.
Oh, I
she
do.
She hates her neck.
No, I
Cheryl
do.
She really does hate her neck.
And can I tell you something? And I'm embarrassed.
Yes, remember the tape?
Yes, that's what I was going to.
Is the tape still working?
Well, I don't always wear my neck tape. But I was on TV. I had a TV appearance. I can't talk about on what. But I decided I didn't want my neck wrinkles, so I wore this piece of tape.
I'm with the listeners right now that are like going, what the fuck?
No, if you lift up your hair in the back, you put a piece of tape like on one end of your neck to the other, and it just like pulls your neck back, which is not that comfortable for one thing.
Yeah.
But also, it sort of,
medieval.
If you ever see me on TV and I'm like, when I turn to talk to somebody, I have to turn my whole body to them. That's because I'm wearing neck tape. I hope
it's so
nobody
sad.
Is hearing this. No, it is sad.
This is like the 50-year-old version of beer goggles.
What is beer goggles?
You don't know what beer goggles is?
No. Is that, what is that?
Cheryl.
No, I'm, is, should I know?
Beer, yes.
What is beer
goggles? We've been talking about beer goggles since we were in our 20s.
You and
it's
I
It's where
have?
You go out.
Oh, well, not you and I thought you were talking like a people. Podcast or something.
No, like in the zeitgeist. Like,
zeitgeist.
Like, it's where you go out for the night and you... You've been drinking.
Oh, yeah.
And you hook up with someone. Oh. And maybe you sleep over.
Maybe.
And then the next morning,
you wake up
and they're like, wow.
Whoa. Imagine if I was single now and I went out and I hooked up with somebody. And in the morning,
please.
They roll over and just see my neck tape. Because my hair.
And also, yes. And then you take it off and your neck flies forward like a Shar Pei puppy. And it's just like,
it's not cute. But you were talking about that with self-tanner, weren't you? Because you really like self-tanner.
I do love self-tanner because I have no melanin in my skin.
You're very, very
And
white.
When you're wearing like a, I am negative white, as we used to call. And the kids in high school, well, the kids in grade school called me Casper.
Oh.
The ghost.
Well, did that make you sad or were you like, ah? I mean, Casper's pretty cute.
What do you think? What do you think, Cheryl?
I guess nobody really wants a nickname. Nobody really wants
it. No, in the '80s,
yeah.
While Wham was like huge.
Yes.
I know, not spoiler alert, but
you
I'm just gonna say.
Did, but go ahead.
I was the girl. All of the cool girls, like the cheerleaders and everything. You, like, if we had gone to high school together, I'd be like,
no,
oh yeah, Cheryl Hines,
no,
beautiful,
I wasn't really cool.
Tan, amazing. And I'm the white chunky girl that every day had a Dairy Queen, you know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard after school or a friendly sampler, 4 scoops, vanilla, espresso, coffee, or chocolate chip from Friendly's. And I every day after school, and I didn't understand why I was like a chunky, really white
Casper-like.
Really not Casper-like looking girl.
But you were still cute.
Cheryl,
I've
always been adorable. Yeah, I mean, I've always been adorable. And you know what? I was that person that they're like, she has a great personality when I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was that girl. Like, oh, she's got a great personality. She's so fun. But I wasn't the hot girl that I am now.
Oh, well.
You know what
you
I mean?
You got the last laugh in this universe.
That's right. Because I had to build my character. And then I built my hotness.
Yeah.
And now the two of them have come together like a Wonder Twin power. And I'm
in your,
fucking irresistible.
As a middle-aged lady.
As a middle-aged
you're
lady.
You're peaking right now.
I am. I'm peaking.
Can I tell you what else I'm doing at my high school reunion?
I would like to talk more about how I'm peaking.
Believe me, I can't get you off of that.
Uh-uh.
When I go, because you know I started a line called Hines and Young.
Yes, Hines and Young.
And our listeners have been, you know, I was very secretive about it for a while because until we launched, so now we've done this launch and it's such a cool company. It's a self-care company and we did it without single-use plastics. So we have this beautiful creams and we have these candles and it's amazing.
If you could see Cheryl, it looks like she's like on The Price is Right and she's using her hands to like describe all the creams.
They're amazing.
And everything.
Yeah, that's why my skin is so
It's very
soft.
Fun to watch.
And I smell good. But the point, I don't want to like, I don't want to take away your, you know, feeling good about yourself.
No, but go. This is exciting.
But
this is also
so
present day.
When I'm there in Tallahassee, my friends from high school, I have some core good friends.
Yeah.
Lori, Linda, Molly, they know. And they are going to host a little
Hines and Young party.
Yeah, like a little launch party. So Dr. Becky Hines is coming.
Oh, because, my favorite.
You know, Dr. Becky Hines, she is working for Hines and Young so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hard.
As a volunteer.
Oh, shit.
And
Cheryl.
Actually, Cracklin' Rosie was in the warehouse.
She's going to be the spokesperson.
Yeah, Cracky will probably come too. It's going to be, I mean, Tallahassee is going to be like, please go home, Cheryl Hines. We've seen enough
of
you and your family.
No, they're going to be excited and so supportive
and
it's great.
We'll see.
They'll be like, our girl has done it again.
We'll see. But anyway, that's what's going on with me.
Can I tell you what's going on with
Please
me a little bit
do.
More about, aside from
your
being
hotness?
Fabulous? That's just
standing. That's
always just ever present.
Yes, ever present.
Yeah.
Oh, that's in perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
Rachel hates that word.
I hate that word. It's okay because there was an actress that I worked with that shall remain nameless that was just like always talking about her image being in perpetuity. And I just was like, just say it lasts forever. Just say the image is going to be out there forever. And I don't even care if it's what it is, but it's in perpetuity. And I can't say it.
And you hate it when that comes up.
I do hate it when that word comes up. And our attorney, we have the same attorney, he will use those words sometimes. And I'm like, that's fine because you're an attorney.
You can.
But for a normal person. For the normal person just says, that image is going to be out there forever.
Right.
You don't. And you can never be replaced.
In perpetuity. Okay, wait. What were you saying? You were about to launch.
Oh, I was going to say, just real talk right now. We are in the middle of a strike.
That's
right
true.
Now, right?
The Screen Actors Guild is on strike, and the Writers
and the Screen Actors Guild, right? Yes. So production is completely shut down.
Yes,
and I think I'm allowed to say that this is hard for us right now because I have something exciting that's happening soon, and that I'm so proud of.
Yeah,
that I worked so hard on.
Yeah,
and I know that there are so many other actors that are in the same place that I am.
Yeah,
where you finally get to a place
where you want to talk about something exciting.
So proud of something that's something so different that you haven't done before.
Yeah.
And so today I'm just feeling frustrated,
yourself?
But I'm trusting. No, never sorry for myself. Okay. I'm so grateful that this is like a luxury problem to have.
It's a real pickle. You know what I mean? It's a giant pickle.
It's a real giant kosher dill salty pickle that's tough to swallow.
Okay. That image is okay. I think we should just jump right in. Should we jump right in?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait because it's made me so happy.
Okay. Today we are talking about Wham!
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
It's a 2023 documentary directed by Chris Smith, whose previous credits include Senior. We did that one.
Yeah.
The Robert Downey Jr. doc. Bad Vegan. We did that one.
Yeah.
And Operation Varsity Blues. Okay. Yeah, this is why this documentary is so good. The documentary tracks the relationship of George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley, childhood friends and co-founders of the British pop band Wham!
Oh, I love them so much.
The documentary's release comes 40 years after the debut of Wham!'s first album and is available to watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you already knew this story?
I didn't know this story in depth. I mean...
Yeah.
What was great about it
was... Like broad strokes.
Yeah. No, like I did not know. I knew the broad strokes, but it's crazy that it was that they were only a band for 4 years because their impact has been for decades. You know, like they...
I didn't realize they were only a band for 4 years.
Cheryl, did you watch the documentary?
Was that in the documentary?
Oh my God.
I did.
I don't. Again, here we go again.
This makes sense.
It was a big point. Now. There were flags that said...
They were...
1982 to 1986, yes. 4 years.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm going to extend you some grace because
we have
been listening to
Wham.
Last Christmas. We've been listening to
Last Christmas.
Yeah, Careless Whisper. We've been we've been listening to those since we were kids, you know, since we were in high school. And so it feels like band was around for forever, but they only were a band for 4 years.
This actually makes sense to me now that you're saying this, because when I was watching it, I was thinking.
Just now.
Wow. At that time in my life, I was all about going to concerts.
Yeah.
Like, I went to see Prince. That was a good concert.
I bet.
I saw Cheap Trick. I saw REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
The BC Boys.
I can't wait to tell you who I saw. Concerts when I was in high school.
No, tell me.
Jimmy Buffett was my first concert ever.
Wow.
Rest in peace. Beautiful.
I know.
Jimmy Buffett.
Beautiful soul.
And Sha Na Na.
Rachel, is that true?
At the Ohio
State
Fair.
Tell me that's not true.
I swear to God, it's true.
Wait,
and Natalie Garvin, my best friend from high school, is going to correct me right now. She's going to be like, no, Rachel, we also saw Journey.
Oh, Journey. Okay,
we saw
now
Journey at the Ohio State Fair. That was
Journey
amazing.
Journey is legit. But Sha Na Na. You were in high school and your friends got together like pre-party Sha Na Na before you got there.
Cheryl,
like,
I could was not the wait biggest to- nerd on the planet.
Sha Na Na.
I did not drink until I was in college and I did not really date anyone.
Mm.
Let's not even talk about the first time I had sex.
I would love to talk about it now that you brought
did
it
you
up.
Did you have sex in high school?
Shh, I'm not talking about that.
You can say that you had sex in high school. Most normal kids did.
We need to take a break. And when we come back, I want to hear your sex story. You guys, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You named him?
Yeah.
You just named first and last name?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
And we're back to talk about Ralph. Wait, okay, you feel Ralph fine, like, outing Ralph?
I do, because I think I know Ralph. I mean, I don't know Ralph, but he's going to call me now and be like, hey, my Ralph. Wife.
You know he's listening.
I think Ralph is still married to his college sweetheart, Colleen.
Shut.
Yeah, I think they're still married. We all went to college together.
I did not
together.
Know this connection. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, not Colleen from the Groundlings. Oh. I'm getting the names wrong. Her name was something like that, but it was it was like Patty.
And it's not even but her close last name, to Colleen.
I know, but her last name was spelled like. And right. Thomas, I may be saying later, will you please bleep out their last names?
Right.
Yeah.
We can foghorn it.
Yeah, we'll foghorn their last names. But no, Ralph.
Yes.
Okay, so my first time with Ralph.
Okay, you're how old?
I'm in college.
Okay.
Yeah, see, you didn't get to see the facial expression that Cheryl just gave me. Because by the time I was in college, Cheryl had already probably had sex with 24
a
dozen
hundred
men.
People.
Hundreds
24
of guys.
24 dozen.
They were all
that's accurate.
After her. I was not that gal. No, Ralph and I were in college together.
Freshman year.
And yes, I want to say. No, it was between freshman and sophomore year. That's right.
Well, okay. Okay.
That's right. And I remember we were in a dorm and he smoked a lot of weed. Mm-hmm. I did not because I'm a scaredy cat, right? Yes. And a nerd.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I'm talking about this on the podcast. I really can't. Like, it's fun when we're talking about it with our friends from the Groundlings and stuff, right?
Right, and now it's like...
But now I'm like,
listen,
oh my God, this is going to live on in perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
Okay, no, to so make a happened? Long story short...
Yes.
He was...
Were you sharing a room? Did you have a roommate?
I did, but this was summer theater and I was in another dorm room. And he was in
sexier
his
by the
own...
Second.
Dorm room, but I remember I was such a nerd and thought that I should be further along in my sexual history that I don't even know why I just said sexual history, but I did. I don't care. Which is a theme of my life anyway. But I remember not wanting to tell him that this was my first time.
Aww.
Like I did not tell him, and then he was so stoned, and it was pretty uneventful. And I was like, I remember, that's all I'm going to say, is that then I remember getting up
but
and going
wait,
to the bathroom
are you saying he didn't
and saying
climax?
To myself, I don't, I think another word for it would be that he fell asleep.
Oh, during?
Yeah.
Rachel. So this
and
is
I remember,
your book?
I remember like trying to get out from underneath them and go to the bathroom. And then I remember going into the bathroom and saying, well, okay, I just had sex. Wow.
Rachel. And did you feel like, what is the big deal? Why have people been talking about this so much? It's just that a guy falls asleep on top of you. That is
I did. Yeah, I did. Rachel. I was like, this is, I mean, I did. I knew, I listen, I knew the wheels had fallen off. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, you knew it was
and
not
I was
normal.
Like, no, I knew that for sure because I had experienced other things in my life to know, hey, this isn't normal. You know what I mean? And
Rachel.
And
that is hideous.
And in the meantime, Careless Whisper is playing in the background.
Right now?
No.
From the
No, I meant like
Yeah. I get it.
And when I was in college.
I know.
But but the first time that I ever heard "I Want Your Sex," George Michael, was 1987 when I was doing summer theater and we were watching it in those same dorms.
Did you circle back to him and do it again?
I think
you don't remember.
I don't remember.
Rachel.
I don't remember. Listen,
the worst sex
I've said
story
to you
ever.
So many times, Cheryl, that you could not pay me billions of dollars to go back and live my 20s. I would never go back. I'm grateful for all of it. Yeah, I would never go back and relive. But we talked about this, I feel like, the other day where I said,
I don't remember.
You couldn't pay me $1 billion. Or maybe I was talking to you.
No, you were talking to me. I'm sure you were.
Yeah. And I was just like, no way. No way. Everything, because everything comes up in your 20s.
Your 20s are hard because you're trying to figure out who you are and, you know.
And can you imagine, segue alert, going into your 20s being in one of the biggest pop bands of all time.
We're circling back. Okay.
Yeah,
nice,
let's circle back.
Okay, so yeah, we're here to talk about Wham. Okay, so.
Delete that entire sex story, Thomas. Thank you.
No.
I know, she's going
to. Thomas, we'll talk. So Wham, here's what I didn't know. That George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley, they met when they were 12.
I knew that because they told us that in the documentary.
Yeah, but until the documentary.
Okay. I see.
And George was the new boy at school.
Sassy. Yeah.
And I'm quoting him. I'm not saying this about him, but he said he was slightly porky and strange looking with big bonks of hair.
With big bonks of hair. He did. He looked like he sort of had like a pumpkin with the shape of his hair. Yeah.
It was
he's a gorgeous man.
They were so cute. So his name was Giorgio.
I know. Don't even try. It's crazy.
Kyriakos Paniatou. And Andrew called him Yog.
Yog, which I love.
And George and Andrew had similar tastes and interests. And it was very sweet because when George was the new kid in school, the teacher said, "Who's going to look after the new kid?" And Andrew said, "I will."
Yeah.
Which is so sweet. And then they like bonded immediately. They both loved music. And they started a ska band. By the way, I had to look up ska.
What does that mean?
I just had to look it up.
Because I don't know what it means.
It's Caribbean and jazz.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Which is kind of what their music was. Like it had a Caribbean vibe to it. Like
yeah. And they started that when they were 16, called The Executive. Yeah. And it fizzled out.
Within a year, yeah.
But George and Andrew would go out in London's West End, like dancing and all that. And then,
what did they do, Cheryl?
They were dancing. I mean, imagine
all
those
that.
Two, all that.
Ugh.
And
so cute, so fun.
Andy started rapping Wham Bam, I Am the Man. And they thought that would be a good title for the group. So these two started Wham. And they did a demo on a 4-track recorder, and they fused rap, disco, pop, and they wrote Club Tropicana about the club they used to go to. So that they started out like, we don't have jobs and we don't care. We're the young people and we just want to dance.
You should turn that into a rap song. It's so
don't you think that was the vibe of their music?
Yeah, they also said that it was just fun and young and like effervescent.
Oh. Effervescent.
Yeah, they did use the word effervescent, which I think was the reason it stuck out for me was because I was like, yeah, it just seemed light.
It was sort of a wholesome.
Yeah, and they said that's what set them apart from rock and roll, right?
Yes, that's right, Rachel.
And that's, I'm jumping. Oh, I was jumping way ahead. I'm good. Did you see me dialing it back? I was like, she's going to tell me to dial it back.
Yes. It was around this time where they wrote Careless Whisper, mm-hmm. but they kind of had to sit on it.
Right.
If you will. Because they knew. Because they didn't have a distributor, mm-mm. manager.
A manager. They didn't have a manager.
But yeah. they were very confident, and they were turned away by the record industry. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. And then at some point, they put a tape of George singing into record exec Mark Dean's mail slot. That's a kind of mm-hmm. a weird way of saying it. They put his singing.
Into.
Singing.
Was it like a recording?
Into. His the mail slot. Slot.
His mail that slot. Sounds- but it's British. You know what I mean?
Like, that's so how they do it over there.
Do it with a British accent, Cheryl. I'll try it one more time with a British accent.
They put there's a tape of the singing into exec Mark Dean's mail slot. No, you have a better.
That makes sense.
You do it.
So
do
they
it.
Took so they took a cassette recording.
That's better.
Of the singing.
Yes.
And they put it in record executive Mark, whatever his name is, Mark Dean. Sorry, Mark Dean. Sorry, no disrespect, Mark Dean. Into Mark Dean's mail slot.
That was nice.
Thank you. I'm a professional actress. You can reach me.
Well, at same, but
Gersh. But don't get okay. Cheryl for accents.
Well, no, I can't do
she accents. Doesn't have accents on her resume.
But by the way,
yeah.
they signed a record deal at a diner. And it was yes. pure joy. They were so happy. Yeah. Andrew's mom kept this scrapbook of all of Wham's achievements and their pictures. And they were mm-hmm. having a ball. And Wham, here's another thing I didn't know.
Hold here's on.
Here's a thing. Tell me if you knew this.
Bring it.
That Wham also had two dancers in the band.
Yes,
two
I did.
Girls. Rachel.
Yeah, Shirley.
That's bullshit.
Surely.
You knew that? If no, someone said
I didn't.
To you,
no,
who's
I didn't.
In Wham?
I just said no. I just would okay. say George Michael and Andrew Wrigley.
It's Wrigley.
Okay, well, you know.
The same point thing. Is, yeah. Okay.
Wrigley. Sorry, Andrew Wrigley.
So they had these two girls, Andrew's girlfriend Shirley.
Yes.
And DC Lee. So they were having a great time, mm-hmm. but they weren't getting any traction. You know what
right.
I mean? They were just going out to nightclubs. And yeah. how short were their shorts?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. I don't even know how they kept it all
but
tucked in.
They kept all their twigs and berries all locked
tucked
in,
up
loaded.
In there somehow.
Yes. Well, maybe they tucked it.
Tucked it?
Yeah, they tucked it. You know, like when you're a drag queen, you tuck.
Well, by the way.
And it's a big famous thing that RuPaul says, okay, go backstage and untuck.
And
they okay. go back and they untuck.
Because I know of, I mean, I've heard of yeah. a country singer, and I won't name him.
Brad would, Paisley.
No, that is not who I was going to say.
We got to take that out, Thomas.
No, it's not Brad. It's not Brad.
Okay.
But he is known to wear his jeans so, so tight.
Yes.
And the way he can wear them so tight is because he does a tuck.
Tucks it.
Which is wow. sort of, yeah, seems so uncomfortable because where does
so
it go?
So uncomfortable.
Because where does
well,
that
it goes
go
in your taint and your asshole.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's where it goes.
Rachel, we've got to take a break. We've got, you know what? We really.
That's where it goes.
Okay.
It gets pushed in there. Where else is it going to go? To like the side of your thigh? To your right thigh or your
I mean,
left
I guess
thigh?
It does go, I guess. But if you're
it's got to go from the front
jeans.
To the back in your crack.
And lick the crack.
Yes.
The front and back and lick the crack. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Wham.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Rachel, we are back.
We have
not gotten very far.
No, we haven't. It is not my fault. You need to read faster.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
A lot of stuff happened. Jag needed a stage name, and George was the English version of that name. So Michael was the name of one of their friends' dads, and that helped shape a persona. So Young Guns got to number 42, and then it stalled. So they felt like failures. And then they got a call from Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops. But it sounds better if you say, like, you got a call from Top of the Pops.
Oh, my gosh.
Or does it not sound better?
Some listeners have to be mad at your accent. Or do you think you're nailing it?
I'm nailing it. I'm crushing it. Let's do a poll. Call in.
Call in right now. So this was England's music TV show. Mm-hmm. And that was like it was a big deal. So they went on. They sang Young Guns. George Michael wore a brown leather vest.
Yeah.
I mean.
And, he sure did.
And little shorts, right?
Yes.
Were their little shorts still involved? And they did a very weird dance that they had practiced in their living room.
Yes.
And by the way, they said it was weird. I'm not saying it was weird. It was adorable.
Right. It's good to say that because we loved it.
We loved it.
But for them, they said it was very weird. And they loved it that it was weird and that it was different.
And Young Guns went to number 3 on the charts. And when Wham! Rap! Was released, it went to number 8.
Yeah.
Oh, that was their rap about being young with no job. But we're just going to dance.
And it sounds just like that. Here we go. We've got the recording. Let's play it.
So Wham! Was typecast as rebellious social commentary. And Bad Boys went to number 2, but they really didn't like the song. And then George and Andrew wanted to go into a youthful, poppy, escapist direction. So they shot the video for Club Tropicana in Ibiza.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound amazing? I want to shoot a video in Ibiza. Nope.
I really don't want to go to Ibiza and take drugs and,
Well, you don't have to take drugs.
Well, they say you have to take a pill in Ibiza.
Okay, so 6 months after, they went back to Ibiza.
Yeah.
And then George had some sort of experience.
Yeah.
They didn't go into it. But then George came out to Andrew as gay.
Yes. What kind of experience do you think he had? Do you think he kissed a boy and he liked it?
Probably.
Which I love.
Probably. Some spiritual connection with somebody or something.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But what was interesting is did they both decide it's better to not
comment on it
or go public? Or it seemed like it was more George's.
Well, it was George's decision because he was like, I want to focus on, I don't want it to distract from his work. Mm. Yeah, from his songwriting. And he was just starting to produce more records, right? So he was feeling that where he was not only singing and songwriting, but he was also producing. And he was feeling, he was struggling with the fact that he was saying he was bisexual to himself, but he, deep down, he felt like he knew that he was gay.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to go there.
What a difficult place to live in, you know, where you're having this internal
struggle. Yeah.
Struggle.
Yeah.
Having this, it makes you so sad.
No, it's heartbreaking because he's making all of this beautiful music, right? And he's such a beautiful performer.
And girls were going
crazy.
Nutballs.
I remember thinking he was the hottest man on the planet.
I was like, that is the most beautiful man.
Yeah.
And the shorts.
The shorts.
Remember, by the way, did you ever wear dolphin shorts?
Never.
Shorts?
Mm-mm. No. I don't even know what dolphin shorts are.
You don't know what dolphin shorts are?
Okay, just calm down. First of all, stop shouting.
Do you really not know what Doppelschlitz?
Yeah, you grew up in Florida, a tan person, and I grew up in Ohio, an extraordinarily no melanin white person that never wanted to show my white legs with my raging red birthmark up the side of it. And here we go. This starts our discussion about
Rachel
my birthmark.
But talking about her birthmark.
Can't help it. You guys, it's part of my life and it's beautiful.
I mean, it does.
And no matter what people say, I'm not going to tattoo over it.
You mean tattoo like flesh color or like the state of California up and down?
Oh my God.
Down your leg.
Oh my God. I've never even entertained. I don't even know how you would do a flesh colored tattoo.
No, you can. You can.
Okay. All right. I did not know that.
My voice got very high.
Yeah, you did.
Well, our listeners will know. They'll write in and tell us.
They will write in. But no, people would say to me when they would see my birthmark, they would say, you can do a tattoo on that and make it really beautiful. Implying.
Like what you have now is not great. Because it is kind of red.
Well, it's scary. It scares young children. Quick story. After a play that I did, I wore hose. I was wearing a skirt. Mm-hmm. It was a musical, whatever, in Ohio, in summer theater. Same place. Ralph was probably in the show with me. He was. And I remember backstage, this woman came up to me and she said, you were wonderful in the show, which, duh.
Of course.
She said, you were wonderful in the show.
Yes.
She goes, but what I'm really impressed with is how you got through it with that hideous poison ivy up the back of your leg.
Is that what I said to her? Your pantyhose? She could see through your pantyhose?
Yes. Oh. She sure can, Cheryl. That's why I said pantyhose. That's why I made a point of saying I was wearing pantyhose and dresses. And this is what I said to her after she said that to me.
Yes.
Thank you. That's it. I just said, because it was like that thing where I'm like, oh, gosh.
This is going to be a long
story. I've gone into this for my entire life. I've gone through it my entire, like, by that time I was like 18, 19, right?
And were you thinking that lady watching you on stage was like going back and forth, like, wow, she's really good. And wow, that poison ivy is really, must be itchy, but she's not scratching it.
She is not scratching it. It's as if it doesn't exist. She's such a good actor. She's acting as if it's not horrifyingly bad on the back of her leg.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Which we've got her on the line right now. Let's talk to her. Let's talk to her. In Columbus, Ohio. All right.
Hey, Sue, hey. Okay, so Fantastic was their first number one album.
Yeah.
And the press criticized them for selling out. Because they were like super poppy and like you were saying, fun and really like leaning into their looks, is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, they're like 20 at this point. They're like 19, 20 years old. They just want to like
dance around. But I do like that in this outline it says George would run a badminton shuttlecock up and down his sweaty body and then smack it into the crowd. I don't remember that in this documentary.
Well, they showed it. Like they
is the shuttlecock the little white?
Okay, so I didn't even know.
It was called a shuttlecock.
That was called a shuttlecock.
I did not until this moment.
Right, either. I didn't either. So shuttlecock is the little birdie. It's not the...
Yeah.
Okay, so he'd rub the shuttlecock up and down his body, stick it in his pants, right? Did he stick it in his pants? Yeah, I think he stuck it in his pants and then threw it out into the audience. But Cheryl, I also remember at that time thinking, wow, this is sexual.
Oh.
Like I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. Like a band like that. Do you know what I mean? Like a singer,
well, what about,
like
because well, what about like Van Halen? They were sexual. What?
I lived under a rock. I was a nerd. I did not watch Van Halen. I did not see
Sha
Cheap Trick. I was watching Sha Na Na and Bowser.
And were you attracted to Bowser?
No.
Were you like okay?
No, I wasn't.
You had no sexual feelings.
No, I did, but it was for like when I was in high school, I mean, I was so in love with, oh my gosh, everybody in St. Elmo's Fire. I loved Rob Lowe and I loved
Have you worked with Rob
Emilio Lowe? Emilio Estevez.
Have you worked
with Rob? I haven't. No, but I've worked with his brother, Chad.
Oh, yes.
I love Chad. And I was like, that's like 6 degrees of separation.
I worked with Rob once.
Yeah.
Braggadocious alert. Oh, we're sick. But I worked with, Rob.
Yeah.
And I was doing a scene with him. And
yes. You guys, she's moving her body around like she's grinding.
No, and right I was now. Staring into his eyes are so blue. And he really is kind of perfect looking. Mm-hmm. And at some point they were like, Cheryl, it's your line. I was like, oh. Like mid scene, I was just like staring deeply, like listening. And they were like, yeah, you're actually in the scene too and you have to talk. Anyway, he's cute. He's cute as point.
He's an attractive person.
But here's the thing about this, Rachel. Back to Wham.
Yeah.
They were so
what are we talking about? Kidding.
They were so huge. And people thought they were making so much money.
Right. That's what's fascinating. Yes.
And they were not making any money. Like they couldn't afford their own places to live. They would go home and stay with their parents. And then you found out that they were getting anywhere from 4% to 0% of the money from the sales of their records.
Right.
I was angry. I was angry when I heard that.
I know.
Because of the mail slot guy.
And you really don't get angry.
No, not usually, but that.
But you were outraged for them.
I was outraged because the mail slot guy did a contract with them.
Yes.
Saying
yes.
that they were only going to make 4%. And I think it was like 2% worldwide. Mock Dean. So then they took on Simon Napier Bell as their
maybe
new
it was
manager.
Napier. Is it Napier?
It's Napier.
Simon Napier.
Thomas
Simon Napier Bell.
Okay. And a new record deal was signed with CBS. So that was exciting.
That was so exciting.
And then George went to Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
To record Careless Whisper. I love this story, by the way, that we're getting into.
So close to Florida, by the way, but not quite.
So close to Florida,
Wham never made
by the
it
way.
To Florida.
But that's the thing is that they went to Muscle Shores, right? Is that how you say it?
Shoals.
Shoals.
By the way, I always thought that was a person. Is that bad?
It was a recording studio, right?
Yeah.
Or a place.
In Alabama.
Okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Keep going.
No. And he went to record Careless Whisper with Jerry Wexler, who was producing
Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles.
Yeah, it was just amazing. And
all these incredible artists.
And he brought it back, and George and Andrew didn't like it, the mix.
They didn't like the mix. And they had the balls to re-record. Yes.
Yes.
I think that's big balls.
Big
amazing.
Balls.
But it's inspiring because
decided. Being true to your creative voice.
Exactly. I know, Cheryl.
When somebody above you.
That's supposed to know better than you.
Yeah.
That you give your power to, right?
Yeah. And you're still saying, you know what? I know better.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yes, but we've experienced that, you and I, when we've created something together.
Mm.
Where we're like, this doesn't sound like us.
Yeah. People give
and
you
had
notes.
To really.
And you're like,
And it's hard to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, it is.
As an artist.
Yeah, it is.
And it's so impressive that he was at that level too, right? Where it was like they produced it. It was ready to go to launch. And he was like, no.
I know.
I'm sure. They didn't talk about the flack that he probably got. And how they probably said, we're never going to work with you again.
Yeah, of course. But it was great because that pushed George to produce his own. So now George is doing the songwriting. He's producing the records. And, you know, you just have so much respect for him while you're watching this because.
Yeah, I didn't know all of this.
I didn't either. I thought they were just dancing around, you know, having a good time.
Yeah.
And then this was so cute. George was inspired to write a song by a note that Andrew had left for his dad. When he was staying there, that said, wake me up. He, and then he realized he wrote up twice. And so he said, wake me up before you go.
Yes.
That was the cutest. And then that turned into their number one song.
Yeah.
Wake me up before you go.
It's so cute. It's so cute because it's just like it just came organically.
Yeah.
Out
so
of
fun.
George Michael thinking that was funny.
His beautiful mouth.
What?
I thought you were going to say it came out of his mouth.
No.
But you were. Sorry. I said no. I hope Thomas cuts that out.
You
no.
must not cut that out because it came out of nowhere.
Or his beautiful mind.
Well, yes. That's where I was going. That it came out of a beautiful, like, funny thing that he just thought of.
So George produced their second album, and he was gaining confidence in his music. And at the same time, he remained unsure about his personal life. Yeah. And it was so sad because girls were going, they were throwing their underwear on stage.
Yeah, their knickers.
Yeah. They were going crazy for these guys. They were having a ball. But now George Michael is like on the cover of all of these. Remember, what was it called? Tiger Beat?
Teen Beat? Tiger Beat. Tiger Beat, yes.
Oh my God. I love those magazines.
Did you ever buy those magazines or did you look at them?
I bought them. Are you kidding me? I needed to have them in my room to go through them with a fine-tooth comb.
I didn't. I'm just going to make this sad for a second. I didn't have money to buy those magazines.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Listen.
I just remember looking them at the grocery store as fast as I could. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I afforded it.
But I loved it. Yes. And I remember seeing like him and like Leif Garrett, all those people in it like at the same time.
Leif Garrett. Okay, can I say something in this documentary?
Yes.
When Careless Whisper came on the scene and you saw George Michael sing Careless Whisper and he was wearing a jacket. He was like covered. Yeah. You know, he wasn't wearing the shorts. He was like a serious
recording artist. Yeah, he looked super hot.
Oh man, that was amazing.
What happened when you saw that video? What'd you do?
Well, I don't remember seeing the video at the time. You remember seeing the video at the time?
I don't. I don't either.
But when I watched it last night, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now that is,
he is very sexy. Yeah.
Very sexy. So George wanted, he had a goal that he wanted 4 number one singles in 1984.
Yeah.
And he wrote Last Christmas. Last Christmas,
that's beautiful.
Gave you my heart. And the very next day,
you shouldn't sing. Give it away. You should really stop singing. Let me do it. Nope. You are. I'm just gonna stop.
Okay, you do it.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
Sing it louder.
And the very next day, you gave it away.
Oh, somebody's really showing off.
Just take me from tears. I'm gonna get one special. Not scary?
Thank you. So,
once bitten, twice shy. You're off key.
I'm very off key. I do not.
Tell me, baby.
Then
do you recognize
George was asked to sing on Do They Know It's Christmas?
Live Aid. Do They Know It's Christmas? Yes. Which blew my mind.
When that song came out and you saw all of them standing up there singing together. But it was sad that Andrew wasn't invited.
He wasn't?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was there.
Which?
No, he was there when George sang with Elton John. Oh, sorry.
Rachel.
I get excited. Because I'm trying to take care of him.
Listen.
That's right. So we're winding it down.
Yes.
Okay, we got to wind it down.
George now is getting a lot of attention and respect as a singer, a songwriter. And he got an award. Where did he get an award? At the...
It was like the British version of the Grammys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Elton John presented it.
Yeah.
And it was such a huge moment for George Michael because that's all he wanted was really for people to
recognize him as a songwriter and a singer, as an artist, not just like a pop star.
Yes. And then they went on a tour, the US tour in 1985. I did not see them. Anyway, in 1986, Wham split up, putting on a farewell show at Wembley Stadium. George embraced Andrew at the end, saying, I couldn't have done it without you. Oh, but before that, sorry, now I just did the thing that I hate when you do.
And how does it feel?
It feels bad.
Good.
Before that, they were the first Western pop act to perform in China.
Yes.
It was so cute to see them in China. It was so fun. Yeah. And they thought that China was welcoming them because they weren't rock stars. They were pretty wholesome. They wanted to just, you know, dance around and spread goodwill.
And joy.
Yeah.
Just like have joy and have people be happy and dance and sing.
And okay, and then this one I thought was very sweet. George was invited to perform with Elton John at Live Aid in 1985. Mm-hmm. And what did George do?
He invited Andrew to come with him
yes.
and sing backup for him. And Andrew knew, instead of Andrew being like, well, thanks, Andrew was like, I know what he's doing. He's including me in this and he doesn't have to. And instead of being bitter, he was like, I'm excited for you.
That's what
and
was,
I'm going to sing with you.
It was so amazing, Andrew.
Their friendship.
And their friendship. And Andrew just always supporting George. And even when George like really took off, every time you would see them together and talking, he just seemed so...
They seemed like they had each other's backs so forever
so
and always.
So happy for each other. Yeah, I thought that was such a sweet moment. You know, when Andrew's singing background vocals, but like you're saying, just was happy.
Does that remind you of any other friendship that you know? Yeah.
Rachel, if I ever tour, I will invite you to sing backup for me. You're welcome.
That's weird because I was thinking if I ever tour.
That would never happen. Rachel, that's ridiculous.
I will ask you
to pull the cables.
Hold the cables. I was just going to say to hold the boom and make sure you boom me.
Okay.
And don't get the boom in the frame.
And with my hand, how do those boom operators, those are the people that hold the microphones. Up over
they have the
your
strongest
head.
Shoulders ever.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it. Okay.
I don't either.
Anyway, in 1986, they split up. And tell me if I'm wrong, but the reason they split up was really because George wanted to...
Was going off to do a solo career.
Yeah.
And Andrew said that he could see that in order for George to become the person that he was meant to become, he needed to do this.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's the one of the greatest friendships of all time. Ugh. Like collaborations of people truly wanting what is best
for the other
for the person. For their friendship, and understanding that.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. That's all I can say is that it's inspiring and beautiful. And I do feel like I have that with you. I feel like you and I are friends like that.
Where it's like, I didn't get the part, but you did. Congratulations.
Yeah. But we also have that with our dear friend Susie.
That's true.
You know, like.
That's true.
We have.
If we walk into a room and the three of us are at the audition, we feel great because that means.
Yes.
One of us is going to walk out with it.
But Susie and I had that experience where we thought that was going to happen. And then at the last minute, another woman came in. Mm-hmm. And Susan and I were like, well, one of us is going to get it. And it's going to be amazing. And then this person came in. And then Susan and I were like, oh, shit.
It's going to be. It's not going to be us.
Neither one of us is going to get it. But it was a bonding experience that has held us together our entire lives. Anyway. But I think like that's such a beautiful friendship to aspire to and to and I mean we already do that, but I'm just saying I think that I wish there were more relationships like that where people hold the door open for other people to grow and expand. And there's people in my life I'm blessed to say that do that really take that seriously.
George went on to sell over 120 million records as a solo artist. He was so great. And sadly, he passed away in 2016.
Yeah.
Rachel, are you ready for our final thoughts?
I sure am.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I was moved. I was moved like to tears many times. Like I just feel like I welled up a little bit.
When he went on stage to accept that award from Elton John, and he got teary, George Michael got teary. I was like, uh-oh, don't blink. I was like fanning my eyeballs, like, no, don't do it.
It's funny. My friend is always like, why do people fan their eyes? Why do women fan their eyes when they cry?
Because you...
What does that do?
Well, you don't want the tears to ruin your mascara.
Ruin your makeup, but it really doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything. Okay.
That makes me laugh so hard.
This is a ridiculous question.
Okay.
Who were you attracted to? One, two, three. George Michael.
Both George Michael.
And Andrew.
And Andrew, but more, but I mean like, okay, let's just redo that. And just be like, if you had to pick one.
Okay.
One person you were attracted to in this documentary.
Listen, the world is about to end. You're on an elevator.
Yes.
You have like 10 seconds before it's all over. Who do you want to make out with?
I know, but I can't say that person right now.
Okay.
Oh, you mean in the film? In the film. Okay.
Okay. Okay. On the count of three,
I'm just saying, oh my gosh, I know exactly who I'm going to be with.
Oh. Well, now I feel like
I'm right. Okay.
But you can't say it to the world.
Okay. No.
That's for another time.
Yeah.
From this documentary, I'm saying.
From this documentary. And that a person did not exist. Okay.
Oh, for heaven.
On the count of three. No. Here we go.
One, two, three.
George Michael.
Why did you give it a 1, 2, 3 and?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's like when we jump in, when I jump in the pool with the kids, I'll say, Otto, we're going to jump in at three. And he'll go, 1, 2, 3 and we're going.
Uh-uh. That's not okay.
And half of us has already jumped in. And he's back here, and I'm holding his arm, and he's a little 4-5-year-old. And I'm like, I just dragged my son into the pool.
Rachel, this is, we have true story talk back. Do you want to talk back to anybody in this documentary?
Oh.
Because I do.
Well, you do it. Yeah, you do it first.
I'll tell you exactly who I'm so friggin' angry at.
Oh, I bet I know who it's going to be.
Male slut.
Yeah, male slut guy.
I'm so.
Male slut guy.
I was so angry. I'm still angry.
Recording artists still get fleeced by their management companies and the producers. Yes.
I've never heard.
That means they all.
Intuiting what it means, but fleeced. That sounds.
Fleeced.
That sounds like you're in the biz. They got fleeced.
I know people.
I want to Google fleeced.
But they got fleeced because.
Fleeced.
They would sign all these contracts because they were young and they just wanted
didn't
to perform.
Better, right?
Like, it's kind of like us. Like if we didn't have a union, if we didn't have all of these.
Or
people,
agent,
managers, agents, an attorney. People would, because we love it so much, right?
Your
and we
image
did it for
would be
years,
used
getting
in
paid nothing.
Perpetuity, and you would get.
Don't, you take it back. You take it
okay,
back.
Okay, Rachel, that's it for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about Bama Rush on Max. You guys, we love reading your messages, your comments.
Love it, love it,
reviews.
Love it.
Keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review if it's good. And
if you think one of us is better than the
other.
Please
let us know which one you like more. And
please let us know.
We just might read your response on the air. Rach, do you have anything to promote? You can't really.
I can't promote anything. No. I can just say.
You can say.
Exciting stuff is coming in October.
Okay.
Happy Halloween.
And I would like to tell everyone to go to Shop Hines and Young and look at my little collection because it's so amazing. Of course, it's cruelty-free. We don't use any single-use plastics. And the candles, the creaves, the linen spray, it's all just really, 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 really amazing.
It's beautiful. It's very, very beautiful. And it's made by people that are amazing and lovely, big-hearted people.
We need a sign-off. Don't we need a sign
off? How about this? If you want to do it right.
Do it with me.
Do it. But don't sing. I'll sing. And you just dance. If you want to do it right.
I can't let you sing by yourself.
I know.
Baby, you want to touch a body. I'm not anybody.
That's not Wham.
What?
That's me. George Michael.
Okay. Now we're splitting hairs. All right, Rachel, I will see you next time.
What's our sign-off going to be?
See you next time?
No, I think our sign-off is going to be like, I'll text you in 5 minutes. Or our sign-off is, I'll be down at your house in 3 minutes. We live three minutes away from each other.
Okay, that's it for today.
I know what it could be.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Or maybe it could be like, to all of our listeners, thank you so much for listening. We'll call you tonight.
Okay. You say it, and I'll chime in on We'll Call You Tonight.
Okay. All right. Ready?
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And we'll call you tonight.
We'll call you tonight. True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Rachel Harris. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Nadia Labetz. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story wherever you get your podcasts. You can email us at truestoryfanmail@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.